apologies for running late. Some of us have also been running from meeting to meeting to meeting from early this morning already, so apologies for that. Thank you to the permanent delegate as well as the National Party for being here today. We are dealing today with the National Gambling Amendment Bill, B27B, 2018, NCOP, Section 76. What I will do is I'm first going to allow the members of the committee to introduce themselves, and then the officials. And then what I'll do is I'll give an opportunity to the permanent delegate in the Western Cape, Jaco Lont, welcome, to just do an introduction for us, and then hand over to National Treasury on this particular matter. And the aim of today is to hear on this particular matter, but also to perhaps ask a few questions, because I think it's a bit of an unusual process that we are undergoing at the moment on this particular bill. So I'm just going to allow the members to introduce themselves first.
Thank you, Voorzitter. Dylan Mitchell.
Good morning, I'm Norman Gondlo.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Las Mugaba. I'm from the Department of Trade and Industry. I'm responsible for advocacy and policy coordination within a division called Consumer and Corporate Regulation Division. Thank you.
Good morning, Ranal Klinger, Provincial Treasury.
Good morning, Claire Horton, Provincial Treasury.
Good morning, Astrid Miller, Legal Services at the Department of the Premier.
Good morning, Andre Leroux, Legal Advisor, Provincial Parliament.
Good morning, I'm Tanaka from PMG.
Thank you. Honourable Lont, I think let's jump in straight with your introduction.
Morning, everyone. I'm not going to do a long intro. This bill has served here before. A mandate has been given. It's been revived. The question that maybe could be asked, and that we have asked in our select committee as well, is whether a bill like this can just sort of, there was a pause button and a play button pressed on this again. So whether you can just revive it somewhere along the process. Nothing has changed in this bill, so we have received the mandate. My job is now to allow the Western Cape Provincial Parliament and this committee to give a mandate again to take back to the select committee. The last time this bill served, there were three in support, three against, and three didn't give their mandate. So it's an interesting dilemma that the select committee and the department has as well, because they're submitting the exact same bill with no changes and expecting a different result is going to be quite interesting. But that's all from my side. Thank you for the time, and over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Given what the Honourable Member has actually said, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take you through the presentation, really the same information, the same bill that we actually presented during February, March of this year. And I would actually leave it to the committee to, you know, take you know, their decision in this regard. I will be joined by my colleagues from the National Credit Regulator actually here. Gabriel Bob Sophie, they're here. Thank you, colleagues. Thank you so much. Way of starting, we are very appreciative to be here today again to brief the provincial legislature on the National Gambling Amendment Bill. This has been outstanding for some time. It has actually been revived. We have actually started with process to brief all the provincial legislatures throughout the country. So we are here in the Western Cape briefing you today. Just by way of background, if you may recall, just before 1994, South Africa didn't really allow gambling, and I'm actually referring to mainstream gambling. Only betting on horse racing was actually allowed. Save that in your TBVC states, they had their own separate legislations that regulated gambling. And then after this, were actually incorporated into the South Africa after the 1994 election. A debate was actually sparked in terms of, you know, whether do we have to regulate gambling as a country. I mean, given the fact that, you see, the former TBVC states, your Transkei, Venda, Transkei, they had their own legislations that were regulating gambling. And for that matter, the Vihan Commission was actually appointed in 1995 to look into whether South Africa really does it need to regulate gambling. The commission came back and make its own recommendation, where they actually advised that, you know, South Africa need to have strict regulation of gambling, and that report was given sometimes in 1995. For that, the process unfolded into the promulgation of the National Gambling Act in 1996, which also made provision for the establishment of the National Gambling Board, the structure that is currently managing or implementing the National Gambling Act. Now, as time goes on, there was then a need in 2004 to review or to reform the same act that was actually published or promulgated in 1996. And after that, the National Gambling Policy Council was then instituted in order to actually coordinate gambling in the country between both provinces and national government. So the National Gambling Policy Council is a very, very important body in terms of coordination of policies surrounding gambling. So what then happened there was that, you know, because of the fact that gambling is actually an area of concurrent jurisdiction between provinces and national, it also happened that sometimes around 2008, an act was actually passed, which allowed what we call interactive gambling, where, for example, you can actually gamble over the internet. But that particular act didn't really see the light of the day. It wasn't really implemented because there were a number of issues surrounding to the regulations that were proposed in terms of that particular bill. Then in moving forward, there was then a need to also look further whether gambling was then properly regulated in the country, right? For that matter, the Gambling Review Commission was then appointed, and it then actually made recommendations which promulgated, which resulted in, the current bill that we actually have today. The bill that we are actually trying to pass to actually amend the 1996 gambling legislation. Now, there were actually various reasons why gambling is actually very, very important for the country. First, we're actually looking at revenue collection, as well as the opportunity to actually, generate tax from the revenue that will be collected from gambling revenue. The other reason was that, gambling is actually, important for good causes as well as for economic empowerment, economic growth, development, as well as employment. Just really just in summary, the background that I needed to actually share with you regarding gambling in the country. Now, I want to go through the process in terms of how this particular bill came about. The policy to review the gambling. Remember, like I said, that the initial act was actually passed in 1996. There was a proposal in terms of gambling policies, which was actually published for public consultation sometimes around May 2015. And the policy was then adopted by cabinet in 2016. Flowing from that, the bill was then developed, was drafted, and it was actually published for wider public comments around 2016. Then the process went as far as into 2017 until it was then certified. The bill was actually certified by the Office of the Chief Law State Advisor, and it was then introduced into Parliament sometimes around August 2018. If you look at the current bill that we have right now, the one that is in front of you, there were a number of revisions that were actually made because it was actually felt that there were a number of pressing priority issues that needed to be actually addressed. So as a result, we ended up with a thinner bill than the one that we actually developed and drafted sometimes last year in 2018. So what you have now is just a reduced version of the bill because the portfolio committee felt that because of time, they were not able to deal with a number of provisions that were contained in the bill. So it was actually agreed between the portfolio committee and our department to really only focus at just the key priority issues that is in the bill. Now, early this year, we actually commenced with a process of briefing after it was actually introduced into Parliament. We then commenced with the briefing of portfolio committees as well as the provincial legislatures. And that happened sometimes around February and March of this year. So, like the Honourable Member indicated, we are actually briefing all the provincial legislatures that we actually briefed in February and March this year. So we actually continue with this particular process. I'm not going to go through the presentation line by line because the Honourable Member, they know this bill. I'm just going to just capture just the salient issues that I want to share with you. Now, the next slide, I'm going to talk about just the current revenue that is actually generated by the gambling industry. For 2018-2019. The amount of revenue generated by the industry totaled around 30 billion, and with the Gauteng province grossing most of the revenue, they're actually sitting at 41% in terms of revenue generated. They are actually followed by the KZN, and I think the Western Cape is the third in terms of collection of revenue. The Western Cape are actually accounting to 17.2%, which is about 5.3 billion in terms of revenue that's actually collected through the gambling industry. Now, when you actually look at the revenue collected in 2017-2018 compared to 2018-2019, there is a consistent growth of revenue, which we think it actually looks good for the country. Now, in terms of you see, if you look at my slide, the bluish part of the pie, that is Gauteng province with 41%, and the green, that is Western Cape, sitting at 17.2%, and the red, that is the KZN, are actually number two in terms of revenue collection on, you know, within the gambling industry. Now, in terms of collection of taxes, because one of the benefits that we have in terms of gambling revenue is the collection of taxes by a government, the money which then goes to the fiscus. It amounted to about 3.1 billion, and because there is a tax of 10% that is actually taken from the collection of this particular revenue. For 2018-2019 financial year, the Western Cape contributed to about 556 in taxes collected from revenue generated in the gambling industries. Now, mostly, a lot of revenue is actually collected from casinos. They're actually contributing to the most of the revenue collected, and currently we're having a total of 38 casino licenses that are operational out of 41 that has actually been allocated for the country. That is a slide regarding, you know, the tax that is collected from the gambling revenue, sorry, collected from gambling. Now, my next slide would actually talk about really the rationale behind this particular bill. You know, what are the key or the key provisions that have been included? Like I said, this is a thinner bill compared to the initial one that was actually developed some years back. Now, key to the Gambling Amendment Bill is the establishment of the National Gambling Regulator, a structure that would actually replace the current gambling board that we have. Secondly, the bill would also provide for procedure in terms of forfeiture of unlawful winnings, and it also really empower the National Gambling Policy Council to take decisions away from quorums. For example, if the council does meet and they're not quorum, we're actually proposing in the bill that in the next meeting they can actually take a decision, even if they don't form a quorum. So this is one of the amendments that we're introducing in the bill. Another rationale behind the bill is we want to, you know, extend the operation of the NSAMs to other modes of gambling. We want to include, for example, your casinos away from the LPMs that we have. So we want to extend this monitoring system to other modes of gambling. The other one is we want to actually enhance the powers of the National Inspectorate, you know, to actually deal with issues regarding compliance and enforcement of the legislation, especially to actually empower, you know, the inspectorates to deal with illegal gambling. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take you through some of the key clauses, which is actually amending or replacing or inserting further provisions in the current National Gambling Act. The insertion of Clause 10, this one would actually ensure that it would actually provide for the registration of unlawful operators for disqualification to actually obtain a license, say, in the next 5 years. If, for example, you are an illegal operator, there would be a register where your particulars would actually be registered there, where you would not be able to get a license to actually trade in the 5 years. Like, you are actually removed from the system for a period of 5 years, but then you can then apply to operate after that particular period. Now we are thinking that in order to actually give effect to this particular provision, there would be regulations that would indicate how this particular process will actually unfold. The other clause, sorry? Okay. The next clause is we are actually amending Section 14. That is actually Clause 4 of the bill, where would actually provide for removal of excluded person from marketing by operators. In this way, we are actually saying that those people who are actually excluded will not be able to actually receive any marketing material from any marketing operators. So, because we want to actually ensure that they are actually protected, and for example, consumers are not lured into gambling because of the various marketing materials that they would receive from various operators. Like I said, with regard to the extension of the National Central Electronic Monitoring System, the NSEMS, this would also be extended to other modes of gambling. For example, your casinos, your bingos, and your betting. It will no longer only be restricted to, to operate for your LPMs only. So this would also cover the other modes of gambling as well. The other clause that we're actually introducing would be the amendment of Section 16, Subsection 4, which would actually make provision for forfeitures of what we call unlawful winnings. And we are actually proposing that initially the current position now is that any unlawful winnings, the money thereof would actually be forfeited to the state. But we're actually making amendments to request that any unlawful winnings, the forfeiture thereof, should be forfeited and be given to the National Gambling Regulator, the current gambling board. And you see, the main reason is we want to actually empower the NGR to be able to enforce the legislation. Now, they can actually use this particular money to actually deal with enforcement issues. Hence, the proposal that any unlawful winning should be forfeited to the regulator and no longer the state. You may actually ask yourself, when we talk about unlawful winnings, exactly what are we referring to? Now, in terms of unlawful winnings, we're referring to where, for example, gambling is done with an illegal operator, or anyone under the age of 18 takes part in the gambling activity, or if such gambling takes place with excluded persons. Those are cases of what we will actually we refer to as cases involving people in terms of the unlawful winnings that we want to have forfeited to the NGR and no longer to the state. I've already addressed NSEMS that is going to apply to other modes of gambling other than the LPMs. Now, the other amendment that we're actually making in the bill, we're actually going to be inserting sections 63 subsection A, which would empower the National Gambling Policy Council. Like I indicated earlier, this is a body that would actually coordinate all gambling activities between national and province. We want the council to be able to actually take decision, especially if, for example, they were not able to form a quorum in the previous meeting and there are some decisions that needed to be taken. So we want to make sure that in the next meeting they are able to actually take such a decision, even if they don't form a quorum, because I'm going to actually run a slide where you would actually see the rationale why we actually moving this way, where we want them to be able to take a decision even in the absence of them forming a quorum in terms of the current legislation. One of the things that we have actually noted when this particular proposal was actually made was there is also a delay in terms of the NGPC having to the delay in terms of the processes, and they are not really able to actually take speedy decision. Also in those cases where, for example, there's a need for the council to make those decisions. So we want to actually do away with the issue of a quorum, because in terms of the legislation, the quorum would be made by five provincial MECs and the minister. So we're moving towards them having to really take a decision even in the absence of the informal quorum, especially in the next meeting. I want to show you this particular diagram, which actually supports the proposal that we actually made here. Now, if you actually look at the green, what do I call this? Rows. Those are the instances from 2013 until 2018 where the council was able to actually form a quorum. Those are the only two instances where they were able to actually meet and they were able to actually form a quorum. Now, if you look at the brownish ones, you can call them orange. In those instances, the NGPC continued without a quorum, and as a result, no decisions were actually taken in those meetings. And we're looking at a period from 2013 to 2018. In those cases, they were able to actually continue without quorum, and as a result, they were not able to take any decisions there. I don't know if you want to call the yellowish one, the pinkish one. In those ones, the planned NGPC meetings were called, but they were actually cancelled before the scheduled dates. And that's the period between 2013 to 2018. Meetings were actually called, but were cancelled before the council can actually convene and have their meetings. And the red ones indicate where the meeting were actually convened, but was actually cancelled on the date of the meeting. So this is what some of the challenges that has actually been encountered in terms of the NGPC as policy coordinator on gambling issues in the country. So they were not able to meet in certain instances. Some meetings were actually cancelled. So this is one of the reasons why we actually proposing that they should be able to meet and then take a decision in the absence of them having a quorum, especially in the second meeting. Now, I want to move to one of the key provisions that we're introducing in the bill. We are actually proposing that the current structure of the National Gambling Board should actually be replaced by the CEO, the Office of the CEO. In other words, the NGR, we are actually proposing that it should really be led by a CEO other than the current board structure that is there. So we are actually advocating for a total removal of the board structure. Sometimes, I think around 2016, the Department of Trade and Industry conducted what we call an agency rationalization, which recommended or proposed that, for example, entities be led by, for example, commissioners or CEO, other than where they actually are led by, for example, a board. So if you look at, for example, the current National Consumer Commission, the NCC, as well as the National Credit Regulator, those are some of the agencies that report under the DTI. They are actually led by either CEOs or commissioners. So we are also making the same proposition that even for the National Gambling, the current gambling board should be led by a CEO other than a board. So we're moving towards totally removing the current board structure and replacing that with the office of the CEO. Now, in terms of the other issues, is we are proposing that the CEO should actually be appointed for a period of 5 years, which is renewable, and obviously there are qualifications of CEO. What are the requirements that would actually qualify an individual to be appointed as a CEO of the NGR? And also we've made provisions for the functions of the CEO, which also include management functions and any other functions, for example, that may be delegated to the CEO by the minister. So these are some of the proposals that we're making in terms of the new structure that would replace the current board structure of the National Gambling Board. Like I indicated, the CEO would actually be the accounting authority or the accounting officer of the NGR, and all the management or administrative functions would rest in the office of the CO, but the CO would also be assisted by a deputy CEO who would take over in the absence of the CEO of the NGR. In terms of intergovernmental relations, we would actually be introducing Section 66A in the legislation, where we actually encouraging that the NGR, the National Gambling Regulator, would have to actually tie relationships with, for example, similar entities, government departments, both from national and provincial departments. So this would also, entail the NGR having to enter into some kind of agreements with those particular institutions. And, for example, that can also include them having to establish some kind of working forums between the NGR as well as those other entities. Now, it's very important that the current National Inspectorate that deals with compliance issues to investigate any cases of illegal gambling to be empowered. That is why, in terms of Clause 40, we would actually be inserting another provision, Section 76A, which would, for example, give additional powers, to the National Inspectorate to deal with enforcement and compliance issues. For example, one of the proposals that we're making in terms of this particular provision is to allow the National Inspectorate to enter any province and conduct any inspection with or without provincial inspectors. However, we are saying that there would be some communication with the provincial inspectors if, for example, the National Inspectorate would be conducting an inspection in a particular province. But in their absence, for example, if the provincial inspectorate is not available, then we are actually empowering the National Inspectorate to proceed and conduct inspection in that particular province. Furthermore, we would actually be empowering the inspectorate to issue notices to operators, especially those that are actually operating illegally, to stop with the operations. So these are some of the few methods that we are proposing to empower the National Inspectorate. Well, in terms of the consequential amendments in the legislation, mostly this would only relate to where references made to board. This would actually be replaced by either the National Gambling Regulator, NGR, or the CO, whatever the case may be. So, like I indicated previously, that we are removing the entire board structure to be replaced by the office of the CO. So where references made of the board, that would either be replaced by the word CEO or the NGR. Now, regulations to ensure that this bill becomes operational, this is the responsibility of the Minister of Trade and Industry to make regulations in that regard. And for example, the the minister would actually make regulations that would outline the criteria that, for example, the regulator would actually use to observe when they're actually considering applications that come through from provinces for additional operations of the LPMs. In terms of transitional arrangements, well, this largely talks about the staff, the current staff that are within the current national gambling regulators. They would actually be deemed to be the employees or the staff of the national gambling regulator. In that way, I want to really conclude this particular presentation, and we want to ask the provincial legislature to note this presentation from the department on the National Gambling Amendment Bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I think the committee is going to have to discuss two things. One, should there be any questions for you on the respective subject matter? And two, the process going forward, I think the committee will have to discuss as well. I just want to check this information in the bill before us that you're bringing now. Is it different to the previous one that came before us?
It is still the same bill, the bill that we briefed the committees in February and March this year. It's still the same bill. There has been no changes to that.
Okay. I will then now open up for questions to the department. I'm going to take three hands first. Any? Honourable Kondlo.
Thank you, Chair. I think my first set of questions are more clarity, seeking questions. I just want to understand on the National Inspectorate and the additional powers being suggested, what would be the relationship of this particular function to the broader SEPs or security cluster? And also in that, right down to, you know, your local, that is at a local government level, where in, as most of them, I'm talking in provinces of our nature, like where you have very serious problems of crime, which includes, you know, illegal gambling, which we find, you know, informally happening, let's say, you know, in some clubs, you know, in some corners in the township. So I'm just saying, what becomes the relationship of such issues being, you know, within the scope of this? That is why I'm saying, what is SEPs or the entire security cluster's relationship to this? My second one, I think on page 26, when you speak about this agency rationalization, which I think the cost argument that you are bringing actually does make sense in terms of the board structure. Perhaps one chair would request if there is a copy of that particular study so that we can get to better have the insight of the issues that are raised as part of the research. But what I want to understand as part of the clarity, of course, is with the CEO arrangement, I'm not getting it clearly what then is the structure of accountability of the CEO itself, you know, when you look at it now, not only from a cost point of view, but from a governance point of view. So if you can just clarify that for me. Okay, I'm just trying to check if I had noted another question. Oh. Then the last one on page 19, on slide 19, sorry, in as far as the National Gambling Policy Council, I understand. I think in our recent annual report discussions with our own gambling board in the province, one of the issues that we're discussing as a policy matter is the custodianship of the gambling board, as, for example, in our province is in the Department of Community Safety, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Treasury. Sorry, I'm mixing with the other one. It's in Treasury. So we're just wanting to understand the location. Is it a standardized thing that, you know, it be in Treasury? For example, here it's in Treasury instead of Economic Development. Fine now, Economic Development and Finance have actually been merged, you know. But that was the question we even said, perhaps because there's a process of our own gambling board in the province amendment, we may have to consider that. But I'm just trying to find that from the National Act, is it an optional thing to provinces to actually make their own determination where the gambling function should be hosted? So I think those are my three clarity speaking questions, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to take one question relating to the availability of the study that was conducted on agency rationalization. And I think my colleagues from the National Gambling Board would also take other questions. We would inquire from the department if they're able to actually make the particular study available. If that is possible, we would make sure that you get a copy of the study. Thank you. Colleagues.
Good morning, honorable members, and thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Our apologies for arriving late. I'll just introduce myself. I'm the administrator for the National Gambling Board, and I'm joined with the Chief Operations Officer, Ms. Poppy Penyama, and our Senior Manager, Gaming Technology, Mr. Shelton Pagiwa. So I'll just answer the question in reverse order. The first one on the NGPC and custodianship of the gambling board and whether it's optional. We did have similar questions from other provinces, especially when we were suggesting that the board structure change to that of a CEO. And the reasoning behind, to start with, why we are considering that is for internal efficiencies. And there's no obligation for the provincial gambling boards to change also their structures. That's a start, because provincial gambling boards are adjudicating licenses. We don't adjudicate licenses. So that's just, in addition, one of the reasons why we were saying we are more efficient and effective having the commission style or CEO structure as opposed to board. And we have been operating that with an administrator in office. And then we are also guided by the principles laid down in the VN Commission. And the decision at the end of the day would be, you know, the consideration of, you know, legislature as to how and what you would want to derive from licensing as a tool towards economic development. So yes, in various provinces, the gambling board may have reported to Treasury or Economic Development. And I just wanted to take you to slide 5 to say, considering the fact that National Gambling Board reports into DTI, there are various things that we consider, especially on the last bullet, when it comes to economic growth, development, employment. We also continuously track issues of transformation in the gambling industry. BBBE, where we're trying to ensure that these licenses that are awarded actually give opportunity for HDIs to take part in the mainstream economy through obtaining a gambling license and being able to create jobs. And also, we look at also trying to get even HDIs into the mainstream, for example, the manufacturing sector. Most of the machines that are utilizing the gambling industry are actually imported. So what I'm saying is it is optional, but one is then guided by what it is you would want to achieve through the awarding of a license in the province. So I hope that assists. And then on your first question regarding the National Inspectorate and additional powers, you said you're asking what is the relationship with SAPS and even filtering down to local government. The good thing is we've been working well with from an intergovernmental point of view. So currently what we have in place, and if these provisions actually go through, it actually would solidify and enhance what we have in place. So we, in terms of the National Gambling Act, whether it's national inspectors or the provincial inspectors, we have the power to inspect the gambling establishments. We are deemed to have peace officer status, but however, we do not exercise that power till we actually get approval from Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development to be pronounced as peace officers. So we currently do rely on SAPS. So when a gambling related crime is then committed, we open a case and report to SAPS. Then SAPS goes about their investigation. They work with us to collect evidence, and then they would hand over to NPA for prosecution. And then in terms of coordination, what we've done is we've been working close with the National Commissioner's Office, and we have National Joint Committee set up. And then there's also a special priority task team, which also oversees enforcement in the liquor space regarding the liquor industry. So we co-chair that committee with it's a special priority, priority investigation crimes committee. What am I saying? So from the national joint committee where the national commissioner sits, there's another committee where we work with the commissioner's office. And then from that, we established that, and then that committee, knowing how, you know, SAPS works, they have then instructed provincial commissioners to then set up provincial committees. So that is what we currently have in place. And then the provincial committees comprise the provincial officials from the Provincial Gambling Board, National Gambling Board, and other stakeholders who are involved to assist, for example, with illegal online gambling, and then they then sit together and, for example, would execute raids if there's an establishment that needs to be raided or closed down and then good seized. So we are heavily reliant on SAPS and would work within their structures up until local government level. So that's what we have in place. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I find out, does the provincial department have any particular view on this particular? But I know that you probably briefed the previous committee, but if there's anything that you would like to add for the committee to consider today, perhaps.
I don't think we would like to brief the committee at this stage. However, we can obviously make available the previous comments that we have provided.
In terms of, I have a question, and I'm not sure if the question will be more of a question related to our legal advisor or if it's maybe something the NCOP through Honourable Launtall maybe need to take up. It was the mention earlier of the revival process. If I remember correctly, I read about two revival mechanisms in the NA, but I've only ever read about one in the NCOP, so I'm not sure whether there is a second one. So perhaps, I think maybe that might be something the NCOP needs to look at, whether whether the revival has been appropriate. Honourable Lonto, if you could maybe share a bit of light on that for us.
Yeah, you see, there's other people that get paid a lot more that knows about this, but I did raise it with the chairperson of the select committee, whether we are following the right process. He said he will get his, or the lawyers on that side to give the opinion, but there was some concern that I raised with him whether this is the right process that we are following. The other thing that I raised in my introductory remarks and that I also pointed out to him is how can you do the exact same thing and expect a different result? I mean, ultimately, if you want to get something through the select committee, and there were valid concerns raised the last time, and it looked like we might head to a situation where you won't have the numbers to pass it, why not go back and do something different? But I mean, that's a question that we will raise on that side with the select committee as well. You've chosen to go to the provinces with the same approach as you did earlier in the year.
Are there any other questions from committee members? Okay, I would like to suggest that we allow the National Gambling Board and the department to go on with their business for today, and that the committee discuss the process going forward, because we're also going to have to discuss, as a province, do we want to do the whole process from over again, or do we, because we can also go through the manager that was given previously, see whether we agree or disagree with that, and then also if we agree, for example, we can reconfirm, I'm told, this particular mandate and forward it again previously, or if we disagree, then we can discuss the process forward.
Through you, Chairperson, my colleague was just reminding me we didn't answer one question regarding the accountability of the CEO, just to get an understanding. Sorry I left that out. Basically, in terms of the bill, it would be similar to what we have in place. The administrator is the accounting authority, basically having replaced the board structure. So in terms of accountability, the CEO would be, in terms of the National Gambling Board, would be accountable to the minister. And then in terms of the PFMA, the accounting authority, also has accountability to National Treasury, and also accounts to the minister in that respect for finances. And then there's also accountability to Parliament, the requirement to report to the portfolio committee. And then the ordinary governance structures are in place. For example, an audit committee, that would also assist in terms of reporting and working with the AG. And then the provincial committee, my colleagues were just giving me the name because the honourable member wanted to write it down. It's the Stakeholder Priority Committee for Addressing Illegal Gambling. That's the correct name. I had just gotten my acronyms wrong, yeah. Special Priority Committee for Addressing Illegal Gambling. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation today, for being here today, and hopefully we'll see you in the future again.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Member.
Should the department wish, from province, you're also welcome to head off and with your various duties for the day. Would it be okay with members if we just quickly took a 5-minute break, just a bit of a comfort break quickly, and then we come back at 9:37? All happy? Okay. We'll be back at 9:37.